Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Femi Ibitoye entitled Deep Worship. This week he'll be focusing on Hebrews 9, 1 through 28 as we continue in the series The Final Word, Knowing Christ Through Hebrews. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/thefinalword.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for us. Thank you that we can call your name in any situation when oceans rise. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing to come into our world to die for us so that we might live and that we can have the privilege to be called children of God. You are our God and we are your people. We are grateful for the blood of Jesus that cleanses our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Speak to us right now. Help us to continue to worship you during this time. We love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue our series, The Final Word, Knowing Christ Through Hebrews. We have learned a lot about Jesus Christ since we started in chapter 1. We have learned that Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham, greater than Melchizedek, greater than the Levitical priest. We have learned that Jesus is the heir of all things, the creator of the universe, the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being. Jesus sustained all things by his powerful word. He is our great high priest. He is fully human. He is our savior, redeemer, atoning sacrifice, and mediator. Last week, Pastor Matt preached from Hebrews 8 and talked about Jesus, about God making a new covenant with us, which is much better than the old one because it is based on better promises. Promises like the one in Jeremiah where God says he's going to write his law on our hearts. He will be our God and we will be his people. This week we will be going through Hebrews 9, which builds on the idea that Jesus is our great high priest and the one who makes the new covenant possible through his blood. Remember that the book of Hebrews was written, likely written to the Jewish believers who were thinking of going back to their old religion because of the persecution they were experiencing. And so the writer of Hebrews is urging them, hold on to Jesus. He also wants to let them know that the old covenant could not save them. Only Jesus could save them and keep them because he lives forever to intercede for them. In the text today, the writer explains what happens in the tabernacle worship, especially on the Day of Atonement. He explains the fact that the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from sin and frees us from his dominion and power. Listen as I read from Hebrews 9, 1 to 10. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. Tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. So these first 10 verses of Hebrews 9 is describing what happens during a worship service under the old covenant. Let me take you on a quick journey of the tabernacle worship. It is my hope that through this you'll be able to see why the old covenant is not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Rather, the tabernacle is just a copy and a shadow of the heavenly tabernacle, where Jesus is a receiver of the worship, and he is our great high priest. In addition, I hope that you will see that the tabernacle and the articles contained in it just shows us, points us to Jesus. Verse 2 of Hebrews 9 talks about the tabernacle being set up. This was set up according to the instructions and directions given by God in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, where it says, Then make them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Two words about the tabernacle that comes to my mind is relationship and worship. God made a way for us to have a relationship with him. And our response when we see the awesomeness of God is worship. The tabernacle is a symbol of Christ, who is the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us, as we see in John 1:14. So come with me as we journey through the tabernacle. You see, once the Israelites got to the tabernacle, they enter first to the outer courtyard, where the grain offerings, where the fellowship offerings and other offerings like this were made. It's a psalm in the Bible that captures this celebration that they did and we do is Psalm 100, which states, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." One thing that you will notice right away is that the people of Israel could not go beyond the courtyard. Only priests were allowed to enter the holy place. The priest then would function as God's representative to the people and the people's representative to God. Praise God that with the new covenant, Jesus invites us to come with him into the holy place without threat of condemnation or death. Once we enter the holy place, we see to my left a golden candlestick or a lampstand. The golden candlestick is the only source of light inside the tabernacle because the tabernacle had no windows. And it reminds us of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is our light. And to my right of the holy place is the table of the showbread. The showbread had 12 breads on the table. And here we see Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life. Jesus declared in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:51 also states, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is stating here how he will be a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Now, in the middle of the holy place is the altar of incense. Jesus is the center of all things. He is the center of it all. The incense offered is a sweet aroma to God that only the priest could offer on behalf of the people. Jesus stands there interceding on our behalf with an incense that is acceptable to God. Praise God. This brings us to the veil. Now the veil was the only access to the most holy place or the holy of holies. The presence of God is through the veil. And this symbolizes Jesus, who is the only way to God. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The veil is also a symbol of death and Jesus' triumph over death. It represents the body of Jesus that was torn for us so that we can have access to God. You will remember that after Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So check out these verses from Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 to 22, that captures everything about the veil. It states, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Something to note here is that no one could enter the most holy place except the high priest. And even the high priest could not enter except once a year during the Day of Atonement. Disobedience to this is punishable by death. So the high priest under the old covenant entered the most holy place with fear and uncertainty. The new covenant shows the magnitude of God's grace towards us. Because through Jesus, he has granted us access into the most holy place before the very throne of God. And we can come with boldness and confidence. As it states in Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. So back to the Day of Atonement. The high priest made atonement for his sin and for the sin of the people of Israel. To do this, he sacrificed a bull and a goat. And then he sprinkled the blood on the ark and the atonement cover. Then he laid his hand on the head of another goat. And then he confessed his sins and the sins of Israel, of the people of Israel. And when that is done, the goat is led out outside the camp of Israel as a scapegoat. So what does atonement mean? It means making amends for an offense. It could also mean the reconciliation of God and humankind through sacrifice. Now, there are several theories of atonement, but we will not be going through those today. But the one thing we know is that we serve a holy God. and sin is repulsive to him. And we know that we are sinners by nature and by experience. And we are unable to save ourselves. As it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is our high priest who does what we cannot do. He offered the sacrifice, which is himself, to be the ransom for our sins. That is what atonement means. As we read in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was punished. For he bore the sins of many and made intercessions for the transgressor. Jesus died in our place. That is atonement. And as Pastor Matt mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when he preached from Hebrews 7, Jesus is a one-of-a-kind high priest and a one-of-a-kind sacrifice. Praise God. Hebrews 9, 11, and 12 states, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. See, the blood of goats and bulls can make a person ceremonially clean, but it cannot give them victory over sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus can. Listen as I read from Hebrews 9, verse 14, which states, how much more then will the blood of Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death, so we may serve the living God. Yes, there is power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin's dominion and power. There is this wonderful hymn that says there is power in the blood of the Lamb that speaks this important truth. It says, would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of animals, goats, and rams cannot take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus can. No one will enter heaven because of the blood sacrifice of animals and bulls. However, millions upon millions will be before the throne of God, as we see in the book of Revelation, saved and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the only way. He is the only one who can make our worship acceptable. He is the only one by whom we can see God and be saved. From Adam to the end of time, everyone who comes to God will be accepted because of the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. It is because of the deep, deep love of God and the mercy and grace of Jesus that we are saved. As Bruce Wilney notes in his book, Note the Truth, salvation is only and always through the work of Christ, now and always. While for us today, the virtue of Calvary is projected forwards, in the case of the Old Testament, saints, it is projected backwards. For them and for us, atonement, ultimately considered, is by the blood of Christ. As Hebrews 9:15 states, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. The new covenant is better because it is based on better promises, like the wonderful promise in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus says this in Matthew 16:28. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. So what does this all mean? What does atonement mean to me? You see, I was lost. I was lost in sin and weighed down by the guilt of my sin. And I could not save myself. Then I heard the words of life. I heard that Jesus loves me. I heard that there is a high priest whose name is love, Jesus, who lives and ever pleads for me. My name is written on his heart. And he lives forever for me. So it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. As Hebrews 9:28 states, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sin of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. As I conclude this message, I want to leave three things with you. First, God wants to have a relationship with you. He made that possible through the death of Christ. You cannot earn it. It is a gift of God. It is of unlimited value and power, and thus covers the sin of all humankind for all time. Respond by accepting him if you have not. Worship God. Praise God for who he is and what he has done. We must never let the gift of salvation that we received, we must not take it for granted. Although it is free, it is costly. It cost the King of Glory his life. Therefore, let us join all of creation in saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. The third point, remember the sacrifice of Christ by taking communion on a regular basis. Remember the blood of Christ that was shed for you and the body of Christ that was broken for you. My dear brothers and sisters, listen to this wonderful verse from 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let us pray. We praise you, God, for your everlasting love for us. Thank you for making a way for us to have a relationship with you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, who offered himself on our behalf, and with his blood won us eternal redemption. We give you all the praise and glory forever. Teach us to worship you with the deep worship you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Femi Ibitoye. At this time, we welcome you to join us for our weekend services by RSVPing to an in-person service or joining us online at eastbrook.org/at-home. For more information on Eastbrook, please visit our website at eastbrook.org.